This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this opening half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, they have it all. And they will make sure your insurance needs are met. And they will also make sure they do everything they can to save you money. Customer service means everything to them. And what a great, great time we had yesterday at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, raising money for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA.
I would say my golf was the worst part, but otherwise it was a blast.
Yes, it was a good time.
Yeah, the hour-long rain shower was a little much, but other than that.
Timing means everything. We got to 9, and it started to pour, and I hit my tee shot. And I'll really admit, I got about 6.5 feet from the hole. The car was right there, so I just ran over and grabbed a jacket and threw it on. But because we were at 9, guess what? Lunch was at the turn. We were able to go inside and eat. And then when we got back out on 10, I'd say after the tee shot we hit, no rain.
I was going to say, we were two groups behind you, so we had to do 8 and 9 in that downpour.
That's bad.
And then we decided to eat lunch and wring ourselves out, and by the time we went out to 10, it had stopped.
Yeah, it just turned out just total luck on our part that we were right there. So I was right there cuz it was my fault for not bringing him. For not bringing the jacket out to start the round. But it just turned out that we were right next to the parking lot. Well, that worked out well. But it was a great time. I was with Bill and Craig Purdy, Steve Engel yesterday. We had a blast. We had a little side thing going with Adam Purdy and his group in front of us. Easily took that one. No problem. There you go. So,
you guys didn't run a game on them and tell them how bad you were before you made the bet, did you?
They were the ones. Okay? Yeah, they were the ones that were at the first tee. I said nothing. I stayed out of it. But it also meant it was time to go. We could see some shoulder slump in a couple of shots where they were the hole in front of us and looked over and went, oh. We could see a couple shoulder slumps here. Steve Engel dropped one in about a foot from the hole. Beautiful. Craig Purdy hit a shot. Beautiful. Bill Purdy hit a shot. Beautiful. All right, I hit a couple shots. You could just see them go, oh, really? So we were over. I saw Drew Kelly. He said, how'd you guys do? I said, is 20 under good? He goes, yeah. I said, well, we didn't get 20 under. But I think we finished second.
I was just going to say, Drew and I and Chad and Blake did not shoot 20 under either.
Neither did we. But yeah. So not bad. Not bad at all. We just had a great time yesterday. Now let's get to one of the farcical stories at least the beginning of it is farcical. And that is the Jim Harbaugh suspension. Oh, by the way, Aaron Brooks lost today in the semifinal, so the best he can get is bronze. Okay. He lost to a wrestler from Bulgaria. And he had a 3-2 lead, and there were two exposure points that went the other way, and he lost 4-3. So Brooks is going to wrestle for bronze on Friday. So there you are. That's heartbreaking. 5 seconds to go. Really? And, yeah. And Roma Bravo, young, lost in his first round. He's wrestling for Mexico, by the way. So that's where that is as we wind that down. But now let's get to Jim Harbaugh. Show cause, 4 years. Really? In 4 years, he'll be coaching the Los Angeles Chargers, which, by the way, happens to be his current job. I mean, come on.
Well, the weird part is this isn't even for any of the sign stealing stuff yet either.
No, it's for recruiting during COVID. Remember, this is where Michigan was. It is what I think this is 2021. So it's got to be the winter 2021. And Michigan at this point has lost how many years in a row to Ohio State? They lost, again, this is what, again, you've got to realize. Penn State had beaten Michigan 3 out of 4 years. Then after this recruiting deal, followed up by the sign-stealing thing, suddenly the magic elixir happened. They were good. And there are a couple too many coincidences, don't you think?
Did you read the Athletic article at all today?
I saw some of it.
Where it was an unnamed recruit basically said going to Michigan at that time was different than anywhere else. They went to two SEC schools, and they were told where to go get a campus map, and that's all the interaction was somebody left them a campus map to pick up. Right. And when they went to Michigan, they had lunch, dinner, and breakfast. They were met off the plane, and they had a guide.
Yeah. Yeah. And did some of those individuals end up playing key roles in the championship?
It does not say either way.
Of course. Didn't say all of them. Didn't say all of them, but I said some of them. It's unreal. Which now brings me to the next part. Okay. The Michigan fan, the average Michigan fan, not all, but the average Michigan fan appears to have like, ah, so what? Really? Yeah, because all they care about, and this is what's happening across the board. What's happening across the board is that there is a segment of a fan base. I didn't say all, right? A segment of the fan base that does not care about methods all they care about is whether they can win or not. So I'm going to give you one from the other day. And this, again, there's a difference between, and there's a lot of pressure on coaches. And I don't need to know what's going on. Just take care of it. You know? Because they need to win. And the pressure on is on them completely to win. Okay. So I'll give you one. Ideology versus realism. The other day after practice, Mike Rhodes, he said, look, no right or wrong answers. So he asked the players this, he asked the managers this, and he asked me this. Guy misses a class, what's your punishment? Guy's late for a class, what's your punishment? Well, when he got to me, I said, miss a class, miss a game, late for a class, under 16, you get to play. All right. Now, harsh, right? I mean, that's harsh. That's old school, but it's harsh. Now, just because I feel that way idealistically, because then they said, well, explain why do you feel that way? I said, because 98% of your guys and 98% of football players are not going to be professionals. They need to be in the classroom and getting their degree and taking advantage of that because it sets them up for the rest of their lives. And I need to impart that to them, how important it is to do that. Now, that's idealistically. Realistically, as Mike said, he said, well, what happens 5-7 times and you're losing games? I said, I'll get fired. Right? My ideology would get me fired. There's no doubt, because I wouldn't win enough games. Besides the fact that I can't coach. All right. Let's not take that into account. All right. Let's pretend I'm John Wooden. And I said, thus, realistically, I'd have to make dramatic adjustments to what my ideology is. Even though I strongly feel my ideology would be best for them in the long run. Because it would impart to them the importance of getting to class, the importance of being in class, the importance of being on time for class. But I'd have to realistically adjust to that. Put them through Dawn Patrol, something. Where there's some consequences where maybe you can make the same point without affecting playing time. Right. See, I'd have to go realistically versus ideology. You have some coaches out there that have great, strong backbone ideology and the whole thing. And because of the winning part and the pressure to win, they're like, I don't want to know what else is going on. You and I both know that's happening, Todd.
Well, I mean, you only hear about it, obviously, when they get caught, but that's the first thing that popped in my head. Into my head when you said that was Rick Pitino at the end of Louisville.
Yeah.
Where, you know, where they, well, I'm sure he knew at least a little bit, but, you know, they blamed all those recruiting violations on the assistants, and he insisted that he had no knowledge of it.
Right. And that's, you know, that's what's so interesting about this. Because there is such pressure to win, there is a segment, and again, I repeat, a segment of the fan base of almost every school in this country that does not care what the methodology is. Just win. Well, there's a segment of the Michigan fan base that has proven that to be true. They don't care what the methodology was to get it done. They're just going around with their chest puffed out because they got it done.
I mean, I can't imagine it's probably as hard as it's ever been now with NIL and collectives and stuff to try and, you know, to not to follow the rules, but to kind of, you know, not get caught up into things at this point. You got to find a balance between winning and being able to sleep at night.
mean, look, there aren't many rules to violate, it seems, anymore. Because
well.
because a lot of stuff's been taken off the table. NIL, now next year the $22 million is being paid out. But I want to talk about that because I think that is something that needs to be discussed about ideology versus realism. Same story. I just gave you ideology versus realism. I have an ideology. And the players then ask me, well, when you went to college, how many classes did you miss? Fair question, right? That's a fair question to ask me. You know how many I missed?
I'll say four, one a year maybe.
None.
Nah.
Never missed a class.
Thought none would be too was the easy answer.
No, but it wasn't like because I had this great. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. You know what I mean? This wasn't one of those. I'm going to class because this is the right thing. I thought it was what I was supposed to do. So I did it. This is what I'm supposed to do. That's why I did it. I got out in 3.5 years, but. You know, got my degree in 3.5 years. But that's how I viewed it. But I want to talk about the $22 million that starts next year. Ideology versus realism in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Okay, so now we're going to get to the $22 million. And this is going to be realism versus ideology. We just went through that on another issue. Title IX is definitely going to play a role in the distribution of money. There's no question. But does anybody out there think for a moment that the SEC is going to get $22 million and tell everybody it has to be $11 million for men's sports and $11 million for women's sports? Really? Do you think that? No. They're not going to. They know where their bread is buttered. And there's going to be an exponentially higher percentage in the SEC that's going to go to football, and then the rest will be decided evenly based on Title IX. If the Big Ten wants to do a 50-50 split, the ideology is beautiful. The realism is not. You need to be competitive. You need to come up with three different plans to do this ahead of time. And based on what the SEC is doing, you need to be right in the same neighborhood. Doesn't mean you have to match them dollar for dollar, but you have to be in the same neighborhood. You can't sit there and let Georgia... I mean, do you think Georgia's sitting there going, hey, we're going to do it 50-50. What, are you nuts? That ain't going to happen. Come on. I mean, really? Do you really think that's going to happen? No. There isn't a single sane person out there that thinks that's going to happen. It's not how life works, and that's not how it works in the SEC. The Big Ten needs to have 2 to 3 plans available as to how they do this. Then when the SEC announces their plan, pick the one that most closely models that one. You need to be competitive. And you need to be competitive so you can keep all your other sports alive.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour being brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Business, athletes, they'll get you on the right track. Go to NILGameChangers.org. I mentioned at the beginning about farcical stories, and somebody said they thought they were going to. I was going to talk about the suit. No show yesterday. Fetal position. Would not play. Stunning. So, they sent in a ringer who played well.
Was that Blake?
Yes.
I was going to say it wasn't me.
That was Blake. Yeah, Blake. So, back to the money part. Idealistically, you'd like to take $22 million. $11 million for men's sports, including football, $11 million for women's sports. Sounds good, right?
Sounds perfect.
If you think the SEC is doing that, really? And you need to be competitive with them. Okay? You need to be competitive with them. You cannot put yourself at a competitive disadvantage in a sport that financially means so much, not just to you, but to everybody in your athletic department. Every student athlete, it's important. I'll never forget a fencer, who, by the way, was one of the top ones in the country in her discipline, tell me one day, I never liked football until I got here. And now I'm so thankful for football because it gave me a chance to compete. Okay? She told me that. See, I go to football games now all the time because they give me my chance to compete. She got it. And if you think, for example, Penn State's a 50-50 proposition when it comes to male versus female athletes, it is not. It's 54-46 here. Why? Well, football has 124 individuals. I mean, right now it's 105, but they'll be allowed to go to the low 120s once the first day of school starts. And there's no comparable match to it. In fact, if you look at the new roster limits being put out there, with a couple of exceptions, everything's 50-50. Same amount of women's soccer players versus men's soccer players. Same amount of men's volleyball players versus women's volleyball players. Gymnasts, X and X. Same thing when it goes to cross-country. Same number. Fencing, same number. Track and field, same number. Then football comes up. There is nothing listed next to it because there is not one that's comparable to it. Wrestling. Some programs now have women's wrestling. They're going to have the same number of 34 as a roster limit as the men do. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to have 34 of them. I'm saying that's the roster limit. But there's ideology, and there's realism. The SEC is not going to do that. And it's not as if the SEC doesn't have a commitment to women's sports. You go down to SEC country, they love softball. They love women's gymnastics. They love women's basketball. So it's not as if they're anti-women's sports. They love their women's sports there. But just not that many of them. And they all know, hey, look, my opportunity lies in the fact that we're a successful football program and they're bringing in money. So you have to look at what they're doing, come up with a couple of different plans. You got to have whatever model you pick that ends up being the closest to what they're doing, because you need to be competitive with them. You cannot put yourself at a competitive disadvantage over ideology.
I feel like that's one of the reasons the Big Ten is what the Big Ten is now, is they were probably the first conference to kind of realize that part of it and kind of run themselves like the SEC was running them 15 years ago. And that's, you know, I feel like that's kind of why the Big 12 and the Pac-12 got picked apart and the Big Ten didn't.
I mean, nobody leaves the Big Ten. Nobody leaves the SEC. They all go to the Big Ten. They all go to the SEC. I mean, they're the ones that don't lose anybody. And it is, you'd like to live in a world where ideology took care of issues right out of the gate and you didn't have to worry about it. It's just the way it is. But that's not the way it is. You have to have a realistic approach. And that includes money. Right? Money has to be doled out in such a way where it is in line with what your competitor is doing. You cannot be Lowe's versus Home Depot, right, which are right across the street from each other in everywhere, right? They're always right next to each other. It's kind of like Wawa and Sheetz right next to each other. Or Rutters. And you have to be able to be competitive with them, whether it's in pricing, whether it's in product, whatever it happens to be. You have to be competitive. Just can't sit there. Well, no, we idealistically feel. You idealistically feel what? You got to be competitive with them. Yeah, you got to look at what they're doing. Okay, I want to get. Okay, Debbie's coming in. I need to get a generator. Okay. Well, my generators here where I'm working versus my competition across the street need to be in the same ballpark. I might be able to convince you that mine's better, but at least when it comes to the money you put out, it's got to be close to each other. The same thing in football. You can't sit there. I mean, as I said before, do you really think Georgia is going to sit there and go, $11 million for men's sports and $11 million for women's sports? Au contraire, mon frere, there is no way in heck Georgia's doing that. No way. Let's be realistic here. They're not going to do that.
It'll probably be $11 million for football and $11 million for all the other sports.
It could very well be. But you have to look at that if you are the Big Ten and say to yourself, okay, let's put a couple of models here together. Okay? Sort of predicting what neighborhood the SEC might be in and what they do. And then when they go with their deal, you pick the model that is closest to that. For the simple reason, in football, I need to be competitive. In men's basketball, I need to be competitive. Already you have SEC coaches on the men's basketball side that are very concerned about, for example, the Big East. Why? Because they can take their number, how many million it happens to be, and they don't have football to give the money to. Oh. Oh.
I never really thought of that until you said that. Now that's, I could see why they could be concerned.
Villanova, Georgetown, Marquette, St. John's, Seton Hall, Providence. They don't have to think about football. They can funnel whatever resources they feel needed toward basketball. And Nate Oates has been very outspoken about that. And it's something that in the Big Ten, they need to think about. Okay. For example, okay, women's basketball has had great publicity, great success in this past year especially. Fair?
Fair.
All right. But they're still losing money. I mean, Todd, they're still losing money. Okay. You want to invest in it. You do want to invest in it. And you need to invest in it. But at the same time, I got to make sure that my men's basketball program is healthy. And the reason I need to, and why do I need my men's basketball program to be healthy? Because guess where the NCAA distribution comes from? The NCAA men's basketball tournament.
Actually, I just put a story in the paper yesterday. They're going to start giving units for the women's basketball tournament now, too.
Right, which by doing units, that now changes the distribution for conferences as to what they do with it. They should have been doing that the entire time. But you're talking $65 million a year. That's what it is. It's $65 million a year under the new contract. Hey, men's basketball is hundreds of millions. It's $1.1 billion.
That's a little difference.
Okay, $1.1 billion in my neighborhood is slightly higher than $65 million. Where do I need to invest my money if I'm looking at $1.1 billion versus $65
million? If they're both in your neighborhood, your neighborhood.
Right. I'm just saying, where do I put my money? Right? Now, men's basketball, women's basketball, you're going to have to go 50-50. You do. You have to go 50-50. The same, you know, in terms of they're both basketball. Maybe a little bit different kind of basketball, but they're both basketball. But, okay. I mean, the other sports don't get a big distribution from the NCAA. I've pointed this out before. I mean, you know what the wrestling distribution is, right, for the NCAA?
Was it 50?
$48,000. $48,000. Not $48 million. Okay? Not $4.8 million. Not $480,000. $48,000. So, yeah.
I was going to say, you could tell what part of the world we were playing golf in yesterday, because that was the two things I heard people talking about. Football and wrestling.
Oh, no. I mean, because I talked to Blaze Alexander yesterday, and Blaze and I were talking about the wrestling program. Look, people love wrestling. They love it. In this state, it is the state for wrestling. The state. But there's a good portion of the country, with all due respect, that doesn't pay much attention to it. They pay a huge attention to it in Iowa. Huge attention to it in Pennsylvania. Huge attention to it in Oklahoma. Right? Big time attention. Somewhat in Minnesota. Nebraska. But do you think they pay attention to it in Alabama? Florida? Texas? I know Bo Nichols from Texas. Texas? Southern California? Oregon? Washington? Do you think they pay attention to it at all? In general? Georgia? I mentioned some fairly populous states. The answer is no, they don't. Because their schools don't have the sport. I'm talking realism here. We're the best wrestling program in the world. Best run, everything. It is a model that so many need to look at and say why and steal some things and copy it. And yeah, but at the same time, it doesn't mean everybody's into it.
That's always surprised me. You don't hear much about it, but you would think more people would come in and kind of pick Cale's brain from other sports just on building something like that.
Sean McDermott from the Bills came in.
No.
Terry Pegula, they were on a trip together. Terry brought him over to meet Cale, talk to Cale. Sean McDermott picked his brain. And that's what you do. If somebody that successful, you pick their brain. You know, if he were still alive, I'd be in Joe Paterno's living room saying, hey, tell me, what about this? If I'm a basketball coach, I'd figure out a way to get, you know, if he were still alive, get a meeting with John Wooden. And completely take advantage of the opportunity. Oh, here's a good one for you. Justin Fields, I'm pardon my take. Did you see this?
No, I did not.
I was going to stay at Georgia, because remember, he started at Georgia. I was going to stay at Georgia, but Ohio State boosters were offering me bags of cash to transfer. I'm talking 300, 400 grand in cash, plus a Benz. And this was before the new rules. Okay.
I'm not sure you're supposed to say that out in the open, Justin.
Well, he's in the pros now. What does he care?
Well, that's true.
He says, back then, O-State paid more. This is his quote. Back then, O-State paid more than any SEC school. Ryan Day, a boss. Oh, boy. Now, some people say it's a fake, but, you know, which it very well may be. But that's a lot of money. So, but who knows? Because remember what the excuse was about him leaving Georgia was, it was something racial. So there you go. But, you know, is it a fake? Could be. You always have to ask yourself when something like that comes up. Because I can't imagine him stabbing Ohio State in the back like that. But it sure is interesting. But you got to be, again, when it comes to the SEC, they are not going to sit there and do what you think they're going to do. Okay? They're going to make sure football is taken care of, and then everybody else will follow. If that's what they're going to do, the Big Ten has to follow suit, at least be close enough to them and competitive to them. You can't tie the hands of your football programs over ideology. Just an opinion. I mean, you may completely disagree with me. I'm just saying that, look, Title IX has to absolutely play a role. No question. It has to play a role. It's the only right thing to do. But if football is included, it can't be a 50-50 split with football included. It's got to be a different kind of scale as to how it works, because you need your football program to be toe-to-toe with the SEC. You start hamstringing people over ideology. Right? All you're doing is hurting everybody when you do it. Right? I don't understand why we're not competitive. We may have to not put as much money into X, Y, and Z on these sports over here because we're not bringing in the revenue over here. Yep. No, you've got to be able. That I'm talking about the conference now. You want everybody to be on a roll. You make sure football is on a roll, and you make sure men's basketball continues to do well. It'll help everybody else, which is how college sports works. I mean, because college sports, if you run it like a business, there are a whole bunch of sports, man, that do not exist if you're running it like a pure business. Okay? Well, college sports is a business that is not run like a pure business. We all know that. And we all accept that, and justifiably. I don't want to see people lose scholarships. No way. No way, no way, no way. Don't want to see that at all. But in the business world, you lose $800,000, they're looking around saying, I don't think we need that division anymore. Do you? I always point out Ford Lincoln Mercury. What doesn't exist today? Mercury. Why? Because they weren't making the profits they wanted. That's called business. All right. Come back. More in a moment. We got John Griffin today?
Yep. After the news.
Cool. Looking forward to talking to John about how the summer's gone. I know Penn State's doing their last summer workout today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.